Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn. So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. I am Michael Boldea. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast, and indeed, we are live this fine evening. Chances are better than good that you will not be hearing any screaming children, because I have family visiting, and they too have babies. So I decided to do the program in studio. We are in the office. Hopefully, it sounds good. And no screaming children. If that's what you tuned in for, then you will be disappointed. But we do have some things to talk about. We do have some things to cover on today's program because things have been happening. Technical difficulties last week prohibited us from coming on with you. I apologize. We lost power. So thankfully, it was only for a few hours. Nothing in the fridge spoiled. But it was within the window of the program, and that was that. Weather has been interesting in Wisconsin. We've had some high winds, down power lines, and now it's just hot and muggy. It's my least favorite kind of weather. The humidity doesn't work well with me. Anyway, that's... neither here nor there. I didn't come on to talk about myself because there's so much to talk about. It's a buffet of riches, if you will. It's a plethora of stories that we can cover. And I want to hint at a few of them. I can't get into deep detail in this hour as far as any particular one. But apparently there will be another vacancy in the Supreme Court of these United States. Justice Kennedy is retiring. He saw fit to announce this. And the only thing you need to gauge how important this is, the only thing you need to see how monumentally earth-shattering it is to watch the reaction of the left. If you watch the reaction of the other side, then you will truly understand how important it is that Kennedy is retiring during Donald Trump's term. They already put Gorsuch on the bench. I think he's done a fine job thus far. And now Justice Kennedy is bidding adieu. And so we will have one more, hopefully, conservative Supreme Court justice that will take the bench this fall. The left is scared out of its mind. All the things that we've been hoping for and praying for, such as, you know, the reversal of Roe versus Wade, for one, these people are losing their minds because they're seeing the writing on the wall. If we get through another conservative justice, we will have the majority locked for the next 20, 30 years as far as Supreme Court decisions. Now, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not a spring chicken. So chances are better than good that it may actually be three Supreme Court justices that get nominated and subsequently confirmed. And if Gorsuch is any indicator, it's not going to be a hard leftist. It's not going to be someone that will vote against the nature of this nation, or at least the intent of its founding. So I'm very hopeful as far as that goes. Like I said, if you want to see how important a thing this is, look at the reaction of the left. It's as though they are collectively losing their minds. They don't know what to do with themselves. I'm waiting for one of them to just light themselves on fire and protest, a singer or a wannabe actress or somebody, because that happens when the only thing that you counted on, after you've sold your soul to the devil, after you allowed just slimy degenerates like Harvey Weinstein or Weinstein to have their way with you for stardom and influence, when you see that after having done all that, nobody cares about your opinion regarding anything substantive having to do with the future of the nation, what choice do you have but to lose your mind, quite honestly? See, these are people that are empty. They are completely without joy. They are completely without fulfillment. Anything that was human in them, they sold off bit by bit long ago for this idea called stardom. And once you're a star, people respect you and listen to you. And we saw that the average citizen, the guy that goes to work every day and busts his hump and comes home and kisses his kids and kisses his wife and has dinner around the kitchen table together, doesn't care that Jay-Z or Beyonce endorsed Pantsuit Barbie. Because there was a push, man. Remember that? During the 2016 elections, every star and their mother and their dead grandma, if they could dig her up, was endorsing Hillary. I'm with her. Well, there you go. These people are losing their minds because what they feared most all these years, we talked about it, what they feared most all these years has become an undeniable reality. Their opinion is irrelevant. At least their opinion is no more relevant than anybody else's. And they can't have that. And so from late night hosts to stars and starlets to singers, they're just convulsing. They're frothing at the mouth because Justice Kennedy has decided to retire, and they know the kind of individual Donald Trump will nominate. See, if they thought there was a chance he'd nominate a leftist, if they thought there was a chance he'd nominate a pro-abortion, anti-Second Amendment buffoon, they wouldn't react this way. Everything I need to know, I can read from their reaction. Like I've told you before, I don't have many skills, but the handful that I have are very, very well honed. One of the skills that I have is reading people, understanding human nature. These people are frightened to death that if Kennedy goes, which he said he would, he said he's retiring unless there's some great pressure and he backtracks and changes his mind, which I don't see happening. And if Ruth Bader Ginsburg finally lets go of this mortal coil and goes towards the light, you're going to have a 7-2 right-leaning or conservative-leaning majority on the Supreme Court. And you know what? If Donald Trump's a smart guy, which I'm starting to kind of say that he is, he's going to nominate somebody on the younger side. And that locks it up for 30 years. Now, given that I can see the writing on the wall regarding the Supreme Court, and so can the other side, more than ever before, I can plainly see how a revolution, how a civil war start in this nation. Because I'm going to say something right now that I hope and pray doesn't happen, because that instant will spark it. They can't have Donald Trump doing what he's doing. The man has done too much too quickly. And we're seeing that the whole Russian thing, the collusion, has gone nowhere. That's it. That horse is so dead, it's rotted. It's just bones, and they're still beating at it. Obstruction, nothing there. And so these people are going to get violent at some point. If you understand desperation, and the left is desperate at this point, they've got nothing. All of their well-laid plans, their dreams of a socialist utopia, their globalist ideals and ideology, poof, all up in ash and smoke. These people are desperate, and desperate people do stupid things. And so I know that there are a handful of you that do believe you're supposed to pray for your rulers, your kings, your magistrates and whatnot. Throw up a prayer for Donald Trump's safety. He's going to need it. Just mark my words. It's when I'm right, you'll know. And then you can write me and say, hey, you were right. Not that it matters, but again, if you take the mandate or the biblical mandate that you should pray for your leaders at face value, it doesn't say the leaders you like, does it? Or the leaders you approve of, which is hard. Because, you know, I'm not one of those people that has ill will against anybody, especially a leader. I've never wished ill even on those I've vehemently disagreed with. But I can't say that I spent many a night praying for the previous administration, or would have spent many a night praying if this election had gone the other way. But I see the substantive good that this administration is doing, and not so much for me, because I'm getting old and tired and gristly. If there could be a majority in the Supreme Court that really does defend life, that really does defend liberty and freedom of religion for the next 20, 30 years, then I see a spark of hope for my children. And that's kind of what matters to me right now. So like I said, if you are so inclined, I would urge you to say a prayer for Donald Trump's safety, because these people have reached the brink of desperation. Everything they've thrown at him has bounced off. Everything they've tried, and believe you me, they have tried. They had contingency plans for contingency plans, and every single one failed. And so here we are. And the only thing they have left is either lose their minds completely and just light themselves on fire, or go dark, go violent. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Because these people don't know when to quit. They don't realize that in their vacuum chamber, in their circle of friends encouraging each other and patting each other on the back saying they must resist, they may feel as though they're a majority, but they're not. And some of them are starting to see it. Others are just doubling down on stupid. Maxine Waters comes to mind. Mad Maxine is at it again, and she's encouraging, what she always has encouraged ever since the LA riots. Look back. These people don't change their stripes. They don't change their ideology. They've always been like this. She's encouraging violence against opposing political views or those of the current administration. And she's not the only one. There's stars and starlets that are going on and on about doing something definitive, putting an end to this madness. And they're saying this in the hope some dim-witted individual who still looks up to them will follow through. They're not speaking these things just because they've got nothing better to say. In their heart of hearts, these people are hoping that some person with a mental instability will pick up a gun and do something very bad. And of course, when it happens, they're all going to be a flutter and, oh, we didn't mean for this to happen. Yes, you did. Now, to me, over the last week, the fact that Kennedy is retiring was the biggest news story. And the way that confirms it, it's, look, come on, in your wildest dreams, you couldn't have fathomed that Donald Trump may get a chance to seat 3 Supreme Court justices, and that the men he chose would be conservative in nature, would lean right rather than left. They would be men who wouldn't mandate homosexuality for all, and if you dare say anything against the practice, then you should go to prison. Now, another thing that has been, let's just say, in the news, in the headlines, is the issue with the migrants at the border. Now, for those of you who don't know, who just happened upon this particular program, without knowing my backstory, I am an immigrant to this nation. I came here when I was 9 years old. I came here with my parents. But the caveat is, I came here legally. So I will speak to you, and I will put into context the situation as I see it, from the viewpoint of an immigrant. I come from a country called Romania. The first time I saw indoor plumbing was when I was 9 years old, the day that we were kicked out of our country in Bucharest Airport. That was the first day I saw an indoor toilet. That was the first day I saw a sink. 9 years old. We lived out in the country. I didn't know any better. We had an outhouse. Life was good. I was happy as a child. But what I am trying to put forth is that this glut of people trying to cross the border illegally may and very likely are as ignorant of modern society as I was when I was 9 years old. People are comparing the fact that we are keeping our borders safe, or that we are stopping migrants at the border, or that we're separating families. They're equating it to Nazi Germany, because now everything's Nazi Germany. Everyone's a Nazi. They're concentration camps. Look, again, intellectually, you can't be this dishonest. I'm sorry. You cannot be this intellectually dishonest when you're discussing this situation. Because there are certain things that you need to understand that perhaps you don't know. Because if you get your news from CNN, then yes, this is Nazi Germany. Donald Trump is Hitler. And they're taking children, ripping them out of their mother's wombs, and taking them to the quote-unquote showers. I've heard this. I've heard this on mainstream news, quote-unquote showers. Now, if you are a student of history, you know a few things. First of all, the Jews that were living in Germany during the Nazi regime were actual German citizens. These weren't illegal migrants trying to get into Germany, because that wouldn't have even been a story. They would have been kicked out first day. The Jews living in Germany, just as the Jews living in Romania, were German, were Romanian citizens. And when the Nazis came to power, they began to round up German citizens of Jewish descent. So your comparison that the U.S. government enforcing existing law is like Nazi Germany goes off the rails from the get-go. These people, what do you mean by these people? These people that knowingly attempt to break American law by crossing the border illegally know exactly what they're doing. They are not fleeing war. They are not fleeing famine. They are economic migrants. They're not asylum seekers. They're not fleeing persecution. They are economic migrants, and they use their children if they happen to be their children as a crutch. Now, are certain things that we must understand in order to see the wisdom, if you will, of separating, quote unquote, because it's not a permanent separation, separating, quote unquote, children from their parents. First of all, statistics say that about 60 to 80% of the minors crossing the border into the U.S. are not crossing the border into the U.S. with their mother or their father. They're crossing the border into the U.S. with what is known as coyotes, or coyotes, if you happen to be American. Now, the coyotes cross the border with the children. Then they sell the children into sexual slavery, into child labor, and a whole bunch of other really, really nasty, ugly, just soul-draining things that apparently a certain segment of the population and even Christendom don't want to acknowledge. No. Every child comes across the border with its mother and its father, and they are holding hands, and the Gestapo of the U.S. ICE enforcement ripped the child from the mother's arms. Look, let's stop believing everything we hear. First of all, the child and the supposed mother or father need to be separated in order for the child to be asked whether or not that adult they walked through the border with happens to be their mother or father. Without that adult going, yeah, 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 tell them, yeah, si, si, yo soy the padre, or winking at him or nodding or whatever else. Second of all, to understand that the places these people come from are not, shall we say, the most civilized of places. And so a lot of these children and many of the adults are carriers of, shall we say, diseases that have been eradicated in the U.S. from tuberculosis to measles, some smallpox, never mind lice. And again, if you've seen the quote-unquote pictures of doom, if you've seen the camps in which these children are held, and they're quick to point out, oh, look, they're on cement floors with those space-age blankets. Guess what those space-age blankets, lice, smallpox, or other diseases? Guess why there are no mattresses in the processing centers until it is determined that someone doesn't have lice, or that someone doesn't have leprosy, or that someone doesn't have smallpox, or that someone doesn't have TB, or that someone doesn't have a dozen of other diseases that have been eradicated in the U.S. Because if you gave them nice woolen blankets and comfy, comfy mattresses, chances are better than good that every single disease brought across the border, wittingly or unwittingly, by some of these people, would spread to the entire camp, and then you would have an epidemic. I know, it's a big word, look it up, to all the bleeding hearts. Epidemic. So before we judge too harshly, the fact that they're given those space-age blankets, the things that look like, you know, aluminum foil, and that they're not given mattresses when they're first processed, maybe we should dig a little deeper and see the truth of the situation. The truth of the situation is this. People who know that they are doing something illegal are coming across the border, whether with their children or somebody else's children. Now, up until recently, because apparently they're not doing it anymore, these families were separated. The children were taken and they were, you know, probably bathed. Yes, bathed! Now, I know that when you say taken to showers, we're supposed to imagine gas chambers and the murder of children. But no, these children are just bathed. They're taken to the showers and given a warm bath. And all the dust and the grime is washed off them, and they get to experience soap and indoor plumbing for the first time. It's exciting to them. So yes, up until recently, the families were separated to see whether indeed they were family units, or a coyote was bringing a fresh batch of kids for Hollywood perverts to play with. So, I have a hypothetical situation for you, because this is necessary in order for us to understand how ludicrous the argument is that these families ought not to be separated. We ought not to have borders. Look, do you realize that every skirmish in the Old Testament was over borders and border security? One nation attempting to invade another nation. The armies were called up. Israel defended its borders. And that was that. So why didn't Israel just let the Philistines or the Moabites or the Gibeonites walk into their lands and pitch their tents, coexist? Because coexisting is the only way. Why didn't they? They defended their borders. They made war in order to defend their borders. So whenever I see someone like Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or any of these people that have no soul, and you can see it on their face quoting scripture to me to swallow back just a little bit of bile. So, hypothetical situation. If you, not as an illegal attempting to cross the border illegally, an American citizen broke federal law, would you be separated from your family? But that's not fair. Look, they are ripping the child from my arm. Yeah, because you have to go to jail. Because you broke the law. So, riddle me this, Timonious pontificators. Why does an illegal alien in the country illegally have more rights, in your opinion, than a tax-paying citizen of these United States who toiled 6 months out of the year to give unto Caesar so that this experiment can continue? If you can riddle me that, then we can have a conversation. If the illegal alien in this country illegally has more rights than an American citizen legally here who pays his taxes and abides by the laws of the land, then something is amiss, dear children. Something is amiss. To put it bluntly, if you break the law, you don't get to stay with your kids. You will be separated from your children if you break the law of the land, knowingly and even unwittingly. There's people that go to jail for manslaughter, unintentional. Brake didn't work, hit somebody, killed him. Up, there you go. Manslaughter, 2 years, good night. Never mind intentional, willful, knowing breaking of the law. These people know that they're breaking the law by entering U.S. territory. They're not fleeing persecution. They're fleeing poverty. And I understand, yes, poverty is a horrible thing. However, you can't fill a nation with 6 billion people who've never seen indoor plumbing, expect the nation to continue to function properly. There are certain terms that we need to really hone in on, one of them being illegal. Nobody has a problem with legal immigration. I think that what this current administration has been floating, which is meritorious legal immigration, God bless. If you can be a net benefit to the nation, welcome. But if you don't know how to write out your own name, and indoor plumbing seems alien to you, if your own nation wants nothing to do with you, if they are gladly pushing you out because they realize you'd simply be a drain on their resources, then yeah, perhaps this country's not the best fit. But that's so heartless. You're an immigrant. Yes, I am. My parents didn't try to jump the border. They came here legally. Someone sponsored my family. We came. We got green cards. We paid lots of money to get those green cards. I became a citizen. And now both of my children are born in America. See, nobody ever talks about people that are doing it right. All those quote-unquote schmucks that filled out the paperwork, that paid their money, and that are waiting patiently for their visas to enter the country legally, that are waiting patiently for their green card application to be processed so they can bring their spouse from the Philippines or from Taiwan or from Romania or from Russia. What of those people? What of fairness to those people? They're abiding by the law of the land. They're doing it right and legally. How is that fair to them when you have tens of thousands of people rushing the border, expecting to be let in? A nation without borders is no nation at all. I'm sorry. It is the way it is. God is okay with borders. He said to Israel, I will extend your borders. Israel stood on its borders and defended itself. It still does to this day. Because there must be delineation. And every time Israel tried to co-mingle with neighboring nations, ended up very badly. Those of you who know me know that I'm far from heartless. Again, the comparison has been made. Well, you run an orphanage. How can you say these things? Because the children that we take care of are orphans. We're not trying to sneak them across the border of any other nations. We're taking care of them in our own nation, the nation they were born in, because they have no mother, they have no father, they have no way of surviving. Again, we make these vast comparisons between apples and oranges and call them all kiwis. Doesn't work that way. Be intellectually honest. If you can't, then shut up. Because I'm tired of hearing of camps, Nazis camps. They're taking children to the showers. Yes, because they're dirty. They're giving them soap, too. Perhaps even no-tear shampoo. There's a new one. Look, before you start getting down on yourself as an American, before you start looking in the mirror and saying, am I really as grotesque as the media is painting me out to be? Please realize the following. America, especially the American Christian, is by far, without comparison, the most generous country on the face of the earth. And dare I say, the most generous country that has ever existed on the face of the earth. I need you to understand this so that you don't get down on yourself and start self-loathing like all these other buffoons. Look, if it were not for America, what we do in Romania would be impossible. I guarantee you, if it were not for America and American Christians, yes, these heartless people, these monsters, these Nazis who insist on having borders, if it was not for them, 99.999% of any nonprofit, ministry, charity, whatever you want to call it, would not exist. Look, I know what our numbers are. And I know how much of our support comes from nations outside the U.S. There's no way we could survive. It's like 97 to 3%. 97% of our, so that we could feed and clothe the children that we do in Romania, comes from American citizens, people living in this country. You heartless Nazis, you. So don't, please don't get down on yourself. There is no nation on the face of this earth that is as generous as America is when it comes to charity. But see, charity has to be voluntary. You can't impose it on me. You can't come and start burning my neighborhood and protesting and throwing bricks to my window and demanding I allow my nation to be turned into a third world hellhole just to appease the bleeding hearts. I'm going to say it again because you need to understand it. Don't get down on yourself. If it wasn't for America, there would be many, many millions dead and dying, starving in ditches. And this is where the disconnect happens. Because none of these nations that are wailing about America protecting its borders are willing to allow migrants within their own nation. Look, I don't know if you've heard, but there is a rush of migrants from Venezuela to Colombia because communism has taken its toll. It does what it always does. It did what it always does, and the nation has imploded. People are hunting rats. Not for sport, but for dinner. That is a human crisis, if you will. And people are fleeing Venezuela into Colombia. Now, guess what the Colombian government is doing? They are welcoming their brothers with open arms and saying, "Come, we will give you shelter." No. They put their armies on the border, and they said, "Nay, nay, what you sowed, honey bunny? You voted communists into power because you liked free stuff, and you kept communists in power because you liked free stuff. Well, the free stuff done run out. So now you got to pay the piper. And we're all full." Who was it? The Canadians. Remember how smug the Canadians, "Oh, we must love everybody. We give them maple syrup and some waffles. We must love everybody." The Canadians, what, the mayor of Toronto just came out and said, "Nope, all full. Can't take any more migrants." Yeah. So why is every other nation in the world expecting the U.S. to take in limitless amounts of semi-illiterate individuals with no skills when they won't do it themselves? So, again, anybody who tells you that we are evil or the nation is evil for protecting its borders is a buffoon. Anybody who calls you a Nazi for having the gall to say that a nation has a right to defend its borders and choose who comes into it is likewise a buffoon. You've always known me. I try to be above board. I try to be forthright, and sometimes it comes across as cutting. Oh, well. Look, if you look in the mirror and see anything less than a noble, kind-hearted, generous individual, then you need to reassess yourself, because most of you who listen to this program, most of you who support this work and other works, because I know people who were one of 10 ministries they give to. And all those ministries do something good and noble and decent. So if you look in the mirror and you see anything less than someone noble and decent, you're seeing the wrong thing. It's not a sin. It's not a crime. To say to individuals who would come to simply profiteer from the goodness of this nation, no more. Again, I understand poverty. I deal with it every day, especially when I'm in Romania. You have no idea what poverty is until you've gone to a place like that. But see, the difference between the Romanians and all these people trying to cross the border is that those people learn to survive, and they make do, and they plant vegetables, and they raise animals, because there's nowhere to go. See, it's easy once you've destroyed your own habitation to pick up and try to find another. The problem is that once you've found a new habitation, old habits die hard. And so you will likely do to your new habitation what you did to your old habitation. If you don't believe me, a open communist won a congressional runoff in either New York or New Jersey past week. Think on that. Because there will be a tipping point. And this is what the Democrats are hoping for. Look, Americans are no longer good enough for the Democratic Party, because Americans are realizing, hey, we've been lied to for a very long time. And you know what? This guy, goofy orange hair, brash, strange, whatever you want to call him, however unseemly he may be, his policies seem to work and things seem to be going well. And so the Democrats realize that the only chance they have is an influx of people who would do anything if they could get something for nothing. That's what socialism is, the promise of something for nothing. The only issue with that is that eventually it comes to a head and you get Venezuela. Where are you going to go to? When this becomes the more apocalyptic version of Venezuela. Because you chose not to see the truth of a situation. And you chose not to acknowledge the need for national sovereignty. Look, when we all get to heaven, it will be a day of rejoicing. Until then, we have to be realistic and pragmatic about certain issues. Now, as I was coming on, there seems to have been another shooting. This time at a Maryland newspaper, which has left 5 dead and 7 injured. And no quicker did it happen than the Reuters editor says it's Trump's fault. Everything else is. There's blood on your hands, President Trump. Oh, well. So you can see the domino effect of just how many things would have gone very differently had the other side won. I mean, look, we have a chance at two more Supreme Court justices. With all of this violence going on in the U.S., I guarantee you, had the other side won, they'd already be talking about gun confiscation. Like I've said before, I am not a gun owner, but I do believe in people's right to defend themselves, because every nation that has gone down the road of totalitarianism, every nation that saw the annihilation of its own citizenry by its government started off with the premise of gun confiscation. It's for your safety. We're going to protect you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll pass. All right. So what else has been happening? I know we spent a lot of time on migrants and immigration, but we needed to lay out the facts as they are and not as they're presented by mass media, because they have a narrative. They have an agenda. And I don't believe that the vast majority of the average American citizens are buying into it, because they see the reality of the situation for what it is. I have Mexican neighbors who've been here for 20 years. I speak to them in English and in Spanish, and I ask them their opinion about what's happening at the border. And you know what they said to me? We come here legally. We get visa, we come, we apply, we come legal. I don't care. Come legal. Exactly. Come legal. Don't endanger your children. Don't hand your children over to coyotes who will likely sell them like so much meat. Look, this is one of those things that nobody talks about. All the bleeding hearters aren't talking about this one, are they? The child sex trafficking and everything else that goes along with not having a secure border. Oh, turn the other cheek. No, no, no. Even the picture that they had of a crying kid on Time magazine. Oh, nope. Didn't get separated from mama. They just put the child down for 2 minutes. I've got a 3-year-old. I've got a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old. When she was 3 years old, if you put her down, she'd pitch a fuss. Now she's more independent. But again, it's the optics of it. People go nuts over optics nowadays. And they choose not to dig a little deeper and see the facts for what they are. Well, I've rattled on for about an hour. I'm sorry I ranted. But I've got so many good people second-guessing their nature, I guess, is the best way I can put it. I've got noble people who are selfless, man, who'd give you the shirt off their back, wondering if they really are Nazis because they don't support mass migration. Look, leave the self-loathing to the Hollywood elite. Leave the self-loathing to people who bartered their dignity for stardom. It's not a crime to want the best for your family. It's not a crime to want the best for your community. It's not a crime to want to see your children grow up in a constitutional republic. And if you think it is, then you're wrong. And I'll call you out on it every time. Now, if we need to press this further, then we will. Because, you know what, I'm okay with people taking pot shots at me, but don't try to besmirch all of American Christendom. It's got its warts. I know it does. It's got its horrible teachers and horrible teachings. I know it does. But it also has noble people. It also has people who are generous and giving, who open their homes and who open their hearts. Don't make them all out to be Nazis. That's just wrong. That's just vile. All right, I'm done. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us. We will hopefully be live again and in studio, no crying kids, next week. But until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate Mike's viewpoints on the perspective of immigration. And, you know, we're a Christian nation. We do have values and heritage. And I'm reminded of the fact that even with Islam, the encroachment that's happened in Europe, you look at England and other countries, there's almost more mosques than churches in some of these areas. And, we want to defend the values and what we believe in. If you try to build a church in some of those other countries, it's absolutely impossible to do that. And there's a great persecution against the faith. Many countries, you know, try to build churches in Saudi Arabia and see how easy that is. So protecting our borders is wise. Being careful what we let in. Mike mentioned sex trafficking, and it's very rampant. There are movies about it, and they make you weep when you see that they've turned the borders into drug freeways and not only pimping women, but trafficking them, people coming into the country. And you look at the gang, MS-13, out in the East Coast, how many terrible gang murders they've committed. So, you know, we have a duty and we have a responsibility to protect the borders. I think people are fed up with unrestricted, people coming over and look at the gal that was shot in San Francisco by an immigrant or illegal immigrant that came over several times. And then cities want to be a sanctuary city. That's a whole nother topic. So it was a great program tonight. We'll put it up tomorrow on YouTube. I would urge you, let your friends hear it. Let's get more people understanding of how serious this situation is. And, we have to not put our head in the sand. We've got to be up, proactive, awake, watching, like Ezekiel 33, being watchmen on the wall. God bless you. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.